Like she's been in there forever.
Ellen, are you coming out or not?
Yeah, Ellen, quit jerking us around and come out already!
This was a moment in history, and I wanted to be here with everybody to witness it together.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Chechnya's gay holocaust triples its victims and concentration camps. A gay Hong Kong couple wins civil service benefits. And Ellen's proud puppy celebrates 20. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Frances O'Brien.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending April 29th, 2017. The ongoing effort to exterminate gay and bisexual men from the mostly Muslim Russian region of Chechnya urgently tops the news again this week. The situation is clearly going from bad to worse. According to local journalists, led by the independent Russian newspaper Novaya Gazeta, which first broke the story, at least 300 gay and bisexual men, or those perceived to be, are now being held in what are being called six different gay concentration camps. That's triple the number of detainees and camps previously reported. There have also now been at least four confirmed deaths. Prisoners face beatings, starvation, and shocks in homemade electric chairs until they provide the names of all their gay friends. Some of them have reportedly been released after their families bribe prison officials. The government's homophobic hysteria has also opened the door to accusations by a disgruntled neighbor or associate that a man is gay, which can lead to the man's arrest and detention.
A spokesperson for Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov first insisted that no gay people are being persecuted in Chechnya because there are no gay people there. But Kadyrov himself later bragged to reporters that he intends to rid the area of gays before the start of Ramadan, which is in late May. The Chechen Republic is a mostly Muslim region of Russia that was granted its own government and court system following years of revolt by fundamentalist separatists. But Chechnya is still under Russia's federal umbrella. President Vladimir Putin's critics say he has the power to put a stop to the genocide, but his spokespeople continue to claim that their boss has no reason to believe that his good friend Kadyrov is doing anything wrong. The latest accounts by gay Chechen survivors, read by Russian refugees who live in the United States, was uploaded earlier this week by the groups Human Rights First and Rusa LGBT, a network for Russian-speaking queer American people and their friends.
They stripped me naked. One filmed me on his cell phone. Three of them beat me up. They kicked me, broke my jaw.
Sometimes they were just trying to get information from me. Other time, they just were amusing themselves.
They said that this is a gay and that there shouldn't be defects like this in Chechnya.
They called us animals, non-humans. They say that we're gonna die there.
The regional LGBTQ rights group ILGA Europe reported late this week that a new wave of arrests is underway, and that even those who have escaped the region remain at risk elsewhere in Russia, even from family members. Honor killings of immoral people who shame their relatives are not uncommon in fundamentalist Islamic families. Hundreds of people attended the latest protests against Chechnya's anti-gay genocide in Vienna and Madrid. The U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum has joined a growing chorus that includes UN officials, government leaders from several countries, and the EU, and a number of global human rights groups to condemn the anti-gay pogrom. Museum Director Sarah J. Bloomfield said in an April 28th media release that the Holocaust teaches us what can happen when state-sponsored, group-targeted violence is allowed to go unchecked. Maria Sjodin of Outright Action International, a New York-based global LGBTQ rights group, stressed that the buck stops with Vladimir Putin.
So far, we have not seen Russia, at least not in a way that's publicly discernible, respond to this crisis.
Meanwhile, an HIV-positive gay Russian man who is seeking asylum in the U.S. was released from more than a month of detention this week by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. 30-year-old Denis Davydov arrived in the U.S. from Russia in 2014. And despite overstaying his six-month tourist visa, he applied for political asylum within the one-year deadline. He was arrested and placed in a Miami detention center when trying to return from a trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands to his home in San Jose, California. Davydov claimed political asylum because of the peril faced by LGBT people in Russia, amplified by the current purge of gay men in Chechnya and the failure of Vladimir Putin to do anything about it. Davydov got his HIV medications in the detention center, but was denied access to a doctor. Sergei Piskunov, who works with the advocacy group RUSA LGBT, says that Davydov has developed a fungal infection, possibly thrush, and has not been able to receive medication for it. The executive director of the U.S.-based advocacy group Immigration Equality, attorney Aaron Morris, also represents Davydov. He said his client has no criminal record and poses no danger to the public. Customs and Border Protection spokesman Jaime Ruiz said that the agency does not comment on individual cases. A Facebook page has been set up to provide updates on Davydov's condition.
A gay Hong Kong immigration agent who legally married his partner in New Zealand won what local activists are calling a landmark ruling this week that grants civil service benefits to his husband. However, the High Court judge denied Angus Leong's request to allow the couple to file joint income tax returns. Leong married Scott Adams in New Zealand in 2014. He applied to Hong Kong Civil Service Bureau for a change in his marital status to obtain medical and other benefits for Adams. But the Bureau rejected his application, saying that the government does not recognize the marriages of same-gender couples. Leong filed for judicial review in 2015, alleging violations of the Hong Kong Bill of Rights and the recently enacted sexual discrimination ordinance. Judge Anderson Chow was careful to emphasize that while his ruling approved civil service benefits for the partners of legally wed same-gender couples, it did not establish marriage equality there. Nevertheless, Hong Kong's first openly gay legislator, Raymond Chan, welcomed the judgment and said it should prompt the government to establish some form of legal recognition for lesbian and gay couples. He told reporters outside the courtroom that officials should at least start a consultation.
Elsewhere, the socially conservative government of Japan came under fire this week from the global advocacy group Human Rights Watch for failing to include LGBT content in its national education curriculum. What the group called a missed opportunity came during a once-in-a-decade review of what's being taught in Japan's public schools. The government has argued that the public and guardians have not accepted subject matter yet about sexual orientation or gender identity. But Human Rights Watch pointed to a 2-year study by Osaka-based professor Yasuharu Hidaka that found more than 2 out of 3 teachers among the almost 6,000 he surveyed thought that LGBT issues should be part of the curriculum. More than half of LGBT-identified students, Hidaka also surveyed, told him that they had been bullied at school. Human Rights Watch applauded the recent LGBT progress made in Japan, including the mostly symbolic recognition of gay and lesbian couples in a few major cities, and the first ever election to public office of a transgender man. Unfortunately, the group concluded, Japanese students won't be hearing about that in classrooms anytime soon.
In other news, far-right candidate Marine Le Pen has qualified for the runoff following the first run of French presidential balloting that originally featured 11 candidates. She'll face centrist Emmanuel Macron in a second round of voting on May 7th. Macron, considered to be a middle-of-the-roader who supports marriage equality, leads in public opinion polls with 62%. Informally endorsed by Donald Trump, Le Pen trails at 38%. She led rallies against marriage equality even after the bill to open the institution to same-gender couples became law in France and campaigned on an anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, and anti-European Union platform. Le Pen's National Front Party was founded in 1972 by her father, far-right Holocaust denier Jean-Marie Le Pen, who also described homosexuality as a biological and social anomaly. She even had her father expelled from the party as part of an effort to clean up the National Front's anti-Semitic and homophobic image. It has surprised some that one of Le Pen's closest advisors, Florian Philpot, is himself a gay man and that 1 in 5 gay men said they intended to vote for Le Pen, most citing her stance on immigration prior to the first round of voting. Gays are like salt in soup, Philpott once said. If there's none at all, it's a bit bland. If there's too much, it's undrinkable.
But finally, 22-year-old Canadian track and field athlete Sean Barber came out as gay and proud in a Facebook post this week. He's the Globe's reigning champion in the pole vault following his win in the event at the 2015 World Championships in Beijing. My parents are my greatest support and have helped me through a lot recently, Barber's simple Facebook post said. To my friends, he added, you are always my friends and I love you too. According to the queer website Outsports, Barber instantly becomes one of the highest profile and most successful current openly gay athletes anywhere in the world.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 29th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
I'm Ellen, and I'm gay.
For those who were there, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, although it could be argued we've crammed more than 20 years of progress into the time since the event we celebrate today. We'll kick off the festivities with a Rainbow Minute fanfare.
Ellen opens her closet door to the world, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Born in 1958, Ellen DeGeneres will be remembered as the first lesbian to out her character and herself on primetime television. It happened on the April 30th, 1997 episode of the sitcom Ellen. It landed her on the cover of Time magazine with the headline, "Yep, I'm gay." As conservatives bristled, Ellen's mother began speaking out with calm, well-reasoned support for gay rights. In 2003, Ellen launched her daytime talk show, The Ellen DeGeneres Show. She brought to talk TV the same irresistible humor of her early days in stand-up, when cable TV declared her the funniest person in America. Ellen remains the poster child for out celebrities. She once said, "I would beg anyone, any celebrity, to please come out. It is the most important thing you'll ever do to save lives." The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios of WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Tom Miller.
Ellen DeGeneres' popular ABC TV talk show threw a moving, star-studded bash on April 28th for the 20th anniversary of her historic sitcom coming out. Ellen shared her recollections about the puppy episode on that show. But This Way Out's Greg Gordon and our correspondents have some recollections to share about those times, too. So we'll sweep you into our archival Wayback Machine after Ellen's own story of the day she said, "Yep, I'm gay."
20 years ago, I said that. It was a much bigger deal then. Today, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of the coming out episode of my sitcom. My character, Ellen Morgan, came out as a lesbian on national television, and I, Ellen DeGeneres, came out at the same time, and this was before Facebook, so if you wanted to announce something, it was the only way. You had to get a sitcom, and that was... It was how we did things. It was the first time a lead character on TV had come out. This was before Will and Grace and Cam and Mitchell and Hoda and Kathy Lee. And it was called the puppy episode because we wanted to keep it a secret until it aired, and because Ellen throws her career away seemed too on the nose. Actually, the real reason we call it the puppy episode is because when the writers told the executives that they wanted me to come out because my character needed to be in a relationship after 4 years of not being in a relationship, someone at the studio said, "Well, get her a puppy. She's not coming out." And so we called it the puppy episode. I can't describe to you how challenging it was to get this episode made. And at the time, it was so controversial, which is why I thought this was important to celebrate the anniversary and to remember what it was like back then and appreciate how far we have come.
The coming-out story of comic Ellen DeGeneres and her TV sitcom character Ellen Morgan captured headlines and became a rallying cry for the gay and lesbian community for months. All the high-profile press focused on Ellen also inspired opposition forces, but only one ABC TV network affiliate in Birmingham, Alabama, refused to carry the show. This Way Out will take you to that city where the community came out with Ellen anyway. We'll also go to GLAAD's West Hollywood Gala, and of course we'll hear highlights from the program that caused all the fuss. The long saga that began with a September press leak reached its climax on April 30th when the one-hour special, codenamed The Puppy Episode, was finally broadcast.
Ellen, you're going to be late for your dinner date with your old college friend Richard.
I can't believe it.
What, that Ellen has a date?
No, that she went to college. It's like she's been in there forever.
Ellen, are you coming out or not?
Yeah, Ellen, quit jerking us around and come out already!
What is the big deal? I've got a whole hour.
Once again, Alabama has become the central turf in another chapter of the civil rights movement in the United States. I'm John McMullen for This Way Out. 22 years after Rosa Parks refused to sit in the back of a Montgomery City bus because of the color of her skin, gay and lesbian activists in Birmingham stood up in the face of homophobia, overcoming the local ABC network affiliate's decision not to broadcast the coming out episode of Ellen. Birmingham Pride Alabama, the organization that plans and produces the local Pride Festival, rented the city's Boutwell Auditorium, where 2,500 people packed in to watch the show on a large screen television from a satellite feed out of New York. WBMA, known as ABC 3340 in Birmingham, set off the explosion that brought the attention of people all across the nation to this community. The station manager said that he felt the episode was inappropriate for family hour viewing, but polls showed that public opinion was not overwhelmingly in favor of the action, which many called censorship. Dawn McDaniel of Birmingham was one of those who didn't like the idea of being told what she could or couldn't watch on her own television.
I was furious, and I did all I could to try to get the show aired. I called everyone I could.
Others, like Kathy Ballou, were quick to emphasize that it was ABC 3340 that should take the heat, not the people of Alabama.
I believe this was definitely a decision made by one or two people, and I don't believe that it reflects the entire community's backwards attitude, and I think that that is well served by the turnout that we're seeing here tonight.
There was no sign of protesters. Birmingham police made two sweeps through the auditorium with bomb-sniffing dogs, but nothing was detected, and no threatening calls were received prior to or during the event. The only sign of any protest were two men who peacefully handed out Christian literature in front of the facility. With more than 20 news agencies, including major television networks, in attendance, the Birmingham event relied on support from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Kathy Renna from GLAAD's Washington, D.C. Media Resource Center expressed her own surprise at the event. Kevin Snow, vice president of Birmingham Pride Alabama and one of the organizers of the Welcome Out Ellen Party, addressed the packed auditorium just prior to the start of the show.
More than any other medium, television has the opportunity to present us with a portrait of the American family as it really is in all our diversity. No more will gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender persons be cropped out of the picture.
As you'll hear in the following excerpts, Ellen progresses from denial to self-acceptance during the hour with the help of her therapist, played by Oprah Winfrey. Her date with Richard is a bust, but she does meet his co-worker, Susan, played by Laura Dern.
I don't date men. Oh. Why? I'm gay. You're gay?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Gay, good, good, gay. I didn't, that's good for you. Of course, why wouldn't you be gay?
Wow, I thought you knew.
No, didn't know.
Yeah. In fact, I thought you were gay too.
You thought I was gay?
Yeah.
Why would you think I was gay?
Oh, wow, I'm sorry. I just kind of got that vibe.
Vibe? Like a gay vibe? You know, like... What, like I'm giving off some kind of gay vibration, you know? Gay, yeah. I think I know what's going on is, you know, it's not enough for you to be gay. You know, you've got to recruit others, you know.
Hey, I'll have to call national headquarters and tell them I lost you. Damn, just one more and I would have gotten that toaster oven.
What is that, gay humor? Because I don't get it.
So you didn't sleep with him?
Not even close. But I lied to my friends and I told them I did.
So it's easier to tell your friends what they want to hear.
Finally, a therapist I can work with. And it's not like I'm looking for perfection, you know. I just want somebody special, somebody, you know, that I click with.
And obviously you didn't click with Richard. Has there ever been anyone you felt you clicked with? And what was his name?
Susan. Susan.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Can I talk to you just quickly before you leave?
Listen.
No. Please let me just talk. Just.
Okay.
You know how, you know, you said in the room, you know, that you thought maybe I was, you know, I said no. Well, I was thinking about it, you know, and I think that maybe I'm, I guess what I'm trying to say is I did get the joke about the toaster oven.
Saying what I think you're trying to say?
What do you think I'm trying to say?
Oh, I'm not gonna say it again and be wrong.
No, you're not wrong. You're right. this is so hard, but I think I've realized that I am. I can't even say the word. Why can't I say the word? I mean, why can't I just say? I mean, what is wrong? That why do I have to be so ashamed? I mean, why can't I just say the truth? I mean, be who I am. I'm 35 years old. I'm so afraid to tell people. I mean, I just... Susan, I'm gay. So, you know, even though this whole thing with Susan was kind of heartbreaking, I feel like this tremendous weight has been lifted off of me, you know? I mean, for the first time in my life, I feel comfortable with myself.
Ellen, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
This is Entertainment Tonight for Thursday, May 1st, 1997. Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Goen.
And I'm Mary Hart.
Reaction to Ellen's coming out episode varied widely across the country, but it was strong.
We didn't know that it was going to sort of take over the world.
I love her very much, and I support her.
I think people are glorifying a situation that's a sin.
You're gay. So what are you going to do now?
I'm going to Disneyland.
ABC estimates 42 million people watched the landmark show, making it the highest-rated sitcom this season on any network. Preliminary overnight ratings have Ellen demolishing her competition. Jane Seymour's CBS TV movie, Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura on NBC, and Joan Collins' debut on Pacific Palisades on Fox.
It was just an incredible sweep, and I'm sure the folks at ABC are dancing in the aisle.
The eagerly anticipated coming out episode of Ellen was celebrated with parties and gatherings all across the United States. I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Here in West Hollywood, hundreds turned out for a special evening hosted by GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Among those celebrating the historic event were many of the Ellen cast members. Patrick Bristow, who plays the openly gay character Evan, attended the event with his off-screen life partner and described what it was like when the episode was filmed.
I was trembling. It was so exciting to feel that support from the audience and the crew and everyone. It was truly one of those great moments that you'll never forget. And for Ellen, I cannot even imagine what it felt like for her.
Not surprisingly, the audience reaction to the show was overwhelmingly positive.
I think this was a moment in history, and I wanted to be here with everybody to witness it together. I just thought it was a celebration.
I know Ellen likes to say she's not very political, but coming out has always been a political act.
Well, we're here because our daughter is here, and we're involved with PFLAG.
I think people buy what's on television. And I think America will buy this. I think it will happen. I think it will work and it will become okay. And if it only changes something for the gay and lesbian youth out there who will watch it, that's really what's important anyway.
It remains to be seen whether or not the boost in ratings from the coming out episode will continue as a lasting trend for The Ellen Show. No matter what the future holds, however, history was made on this last day of April, 1997. Reporting from West Hollywood, I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
The future of The Ellen Show did not turn out to be a long one. Its ratings fell and it was canceled the following season. Of course, that was hardly the end of the story, which continues 5 days a week on televisions around the world. Last November, outgoing President Barack Obama awarded Ellen DeGeneres the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
It's easy to forget now, when we've come so far, we're now marriage is equal under the law, just how much courage was required for Ellen to come out on the most public of stages almost 20 years ago. Just how important it was, not just to the LGBT community, but for all of us, to see somebody so full of kindness and light, somebody we liked so much, somebody who could be our neighbor or our colleague or our sister, challenge our own assumptions, remind us that we have more in common than we realize, push our country in the direction of justice. What an incredible burden that was to bear, to risk your career like that. People don't do that very often. And then to have the hopes of millions on your shoulders. And yet, today, every day, in every way, Ellen counters what too often divides us with the countless things that bind us together, inspires us to be better. One joke, one dance at a time.
It was the hardest thing that I ever had to do in my life, and I would not change one moment of it because it led me to be exactly where I am today, standing in front of all of you, which is a joy. And the fact that all of you and everyone at home is watching me and willing to accept me into your homes every day when no one thought that would ever happen again, it means the world to me. I thank you, and I celebrate you all with this dance.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out. That was without cue cards, people.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, Francis O'Brien, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Tom Miller, Greg Gordon, John McMullen, and Chris Wilson and Pam Marshall contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Look for This Way Out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4CCC Warwick, Queensland, Q Radio, Bangalore, India, QNCR South Lismore, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.